The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, practical guidance to navigate the choices we face every day.
Because we live in the age of deception, and we got to know what's true, what's authentic, and what's not. We got to operate past the things that we can see with our human eyes and what we're going to call our spiritual gut. What is he saying to you?
Developing spiritual discernment, next on Life Today.
Join us. It's Wednesdays with Beth, and we always look forward to that, James.
And I'm James Robinson, and Betty and I are thrilled to present one of the most gifted communicators. And as Betty said, Wednesdays with Beth is a favorite day for many of you. I do hope that you are watching the other day's Life Today. I know many of you love Beth. And let me just tell you something that Beth would want you to know is really important. During the program, toward the latter part, which, you know, after you've heard Beth, you could say, okay, I'll move on to something else. Don't. Because you're going to see where Beth's heart is. And that is really sharing the love of God. And you're going to see a real picture of the power of prayer and an opportunity to demonstrate love. Now, Beth is talking about spiritual discernment. And I think far too few, even among those who profess Christ and claim to know him personally, seem to discern very well. We need to discern the times. We need to discern people. She's going to get into some very specific aspects of discernment. Here is Beth Moore.
And I just wonder how many of you have been punked. Anybody? Betrayed? Misled? Taken advantage of? Taken for a fool? Duped? Flat out lied to? Looked back on something you swallowed whole and think, what an idiot. When was the last time you believed something you shouldn't have? Or you accepted something or welcomed something that you terribly regretted that bit you on the back of the neck so hard you still feel shamed by it? What was it? When was the last time you just had that feeling inside you could not shake, but you could not quite define it? When was the last time? Whole lot of life we've already established is black and white. But then we get into that gray zone, and it is in that gray zone where you and I have the biggest capacity to get sideswiped. In Paul's words to Timothy, we've come into an age of seduction. Seducing spirits, he said. What that means is we got our regular warfare. We got opposition, which is a normal part of the experience in the realm for believers. But then we've got oppression. That's when the enemy somehow is in it now, where we can sense something. We can have warfare, but we can know it. But every now and then, there comes a time of seduction, when we just did not see it coming. It just was not black and white. It was not clear to us. Now, somebody is going to be thinking right about now on the other side of that screen, you know, I can see, Beth, where you would need it, but I really can't see where spiritual discernment comes into play in my own life. I mean, like, you definitely shouldn't believe things that people tell you like that and then go broadcast them only to find that it's a lie. I can see it with your life, but I'm not sure I get it with mine, and I would beg to differ. Can you imagine how much it could be the salvation of marriages? My man always comes with me on these tapings. There's been something, again, when we're talking about how did we know? It's not something he does the rest of the time. But we knew that for this place, for these tapings, he was supposed to come and provide a physical covering. He always prays for me over the phone for the rest of the events on the calendar. But God told us early on, when I say that, how did we know? We somehow knew it in our spiritual gut. This is what I'm talking about. So he always comes with me, and he would be able to attest to the fact that some years ago, in the business that he was in for so long, I got a strange feeling about a woman. A strange feeling. And I said, listen, I really feel like, he knows I'm not just the big jealous type. I said, I really want you to be aware. I said, I think that you are going to have a very subtle advance come to you. And he knew it did not mean money. I want you to be on the lookout. He comes back the next day and says to me, it happened exactly that way. And he said, I want you to know, Beth. He said, I had no idea she even felt that way. No idea. Came and told him she was going to be leaving the workplace because of her feelings. And he acted like I had no idea what she was talking about. And he said, I just saw her. I said, well, you know, have a good life. We're glad you stopped by. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, glad you came. Glad you're going. And he said, she walked out the door and he shut the door. Oh, that was it. That was it. How did I know? I don't know how to explain it. Now, listen, we could get all wiggy here and like we could manipulate everybody we know. But it wouldn't have been the spirit had it not come out exactly that way. Then it would have just been imagination. It just would have been jealousy. It just would have been suspicion. But it wasn't. It was God. It was God. And he placed a warning on us. The salvation of our marriages. Certainly it could be the salvation of our churches. If we began in our churches to operate with spiritual discernment, can you imagine the difference? Protection in all sorts of relational entanglements. It could keep us from taking up employment where even if we went, I'm not trying to make something mystical out of it, but if we went and interviewed and we thought, something is creepy here. Something just feels creepy here. You know what? Don't go to work there. Don't go to work there. The Word of God tells us that in the latter days, there will be greater deception. Now, I want to tell you something. All of us would say, all of us have heard this phrase, that this is the information age. We live in the laptop age. I can get all of my information that I need off of my phone. I can check my emails. I can get on the internet. I can find where the nearest Starbucks is. I can do all of these things straight from the apps on my telephone. We live in the information age. The information age presumes a deception age. The more information, the more deception, because there's just more potential to do it. And every realm of social networking, you got opportunity, you got blogs, you got people taking up entire identities that are not true because they can pose it, they can become someone online that they never dreamed of being otherwise. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm saying it's happening. And everyone I talk to has a story about somehow being duped on a blog, on a Facebook account, on something that turned out to be so different than it seemed. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin to close up this first half of our two-part series in 2 Timothy 3. Anybody think they could use any of these kinds of lessons? I need to know what I cannot, with my human thinking, begin to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, see, here's the thing. We don't want it to get where all the freedom of speech is removed or we lose our freedom too. We can't just have it all policed because that's where we'll lose our ability to speak the truth of the gospel of Christ's own salvation. So there's got to be another way to get around it, and that way is to be discerning, to be discerning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me show you something about it. This is the wildest chapter. It begins to tell us about perilous times in the last of days. In the latter days, there will be perilous times. But unlike Matthew chapter 24, that tells us about the ecological disasters and environmental disasters and circumstantial disasters, earthquakes, famines, all sorts of things that will erupt in the last of days, the witness of Christ going into every nation and people group. This particular chapter tells it from a sociological point of view. This, what will be perilous about the latter days, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, is people. people will be this. It starts by saying they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And those are just verses 1 and 2. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound familiar to anybody? Sound like the days that we live in? Well, drop down now, and I want you to look at verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter. 12 and 13. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want you to get your darling little pen out if you have one. You can get out a pen that's not darling if you can find one. And I want you to underline that verse if you mark in your Bibles, because it tells us exactly what we're talking about here, how to combat what we're up against, because it says, you will see that evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If we have ever in our lives needed discernment of the Spirit, we need it now. Because we live in the age of deception. We are living in the age of the poser. And we got to know what's true, what's authentic, and what's not. We got to operate past the things that we can see with our human eyes into what the Holy Spirit is telling us and what we're going to call our spiritual gut. What is He saying to you? Is He warning you? Or is He saying, move in without hesitation, go with these people? Or is He saying, you back off and run for your ever-loving life? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? I want you to read on before we conclude this part. I want you to see what it says next. Many of you know some of the verses coming up, but I want you to see them in this context. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, when we're talking about spiritual discernment, it's important for us to understand that we're talking about something that we're going to operate in most accurately. Remember, we're in the gray zone now, where it's black and white. Go with black and white. Sometimes He says, flat out, you don't need to pray about this. Flee from sexual immorality. I mean, He just goes, flee from it. You don't have to think like, okay, now this is gray. Oh, no, it's not gray. It's really not gray. I mean, am I supposed to work? Am I supposed to be an exotic dancer? Like, no. No, that's not gray. I'm praying this. No, that's not gray. I'm not making fun. Listen, we all have all sorts of temptations, all sorts of pasts, and all sorts of histories. But I'm just telling you, some things we can just go, that's black or white. Do I need a church that teaches the Scriptures? I don't have to pray through. Now, they never do open their Bible, but I'm trying to think, God may have us here for... No, God does not have you there for... Move. Move. Unless you're the pastor. If you are, start teaching the Scriptures. I mean, some things, you don't have to pray about them. Like, they're either go or stay. It's just going, I don't know. I just don't really feel the same way about my husband as I used to. I wonder if, no, you're staying. You know what I'm saying? Some things are just like black and white. But this one, this is in the gray zone here. And what we're going to find out is that we will most accurately discern the Holy Spirit when we have an operating knowledge of God's Word. I'm not saying we have to know the basic foundation of every book, all 66 books of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm saying the more we get to know God through His Word, the more we're going to be accurate when it comes to matters of spiritual discernment. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will never work contrary to God's Word. It was God-breathed. He will always be congruent. Always. It will always line up. So we got to know God's Word, because sometimes we're going to go, you know, well, I'm feeling that because this is what the Scripture says, and that's not what we were doing. I mean, that's the best way to do it. But here's what I want to say. And you know, the first time I ever taught this, I left this out. And I'm so glad. This has been something God's been working in my heart. I'm so glad He brought it back to my remembrance this time. If you have no background in God's Word, but you still have a feeling in your spirit, If you received Christ some time ago, but you've just never grown up in Him, in the Word of God, and you're thinking, then I can forget it where spiritual discernment is concerned. Listen, you may still, because His Holy Spirit is in you, He may still check you on something. You might still get a feeling. So I'm not saying that it never applies to you. I am saying this. Go to someone you know who does have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. And ask them, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I think that God's telling me through His Spirit, through the indwelling Spirit. Do you think that I'm right here? And begin to get to know God through His Word. But even until then, is He telling you something you need to respond to? Can you find out from someone, is it congruent with the Word of God? What is it He is telling us? I need to be smarter than I am. I need to be wise about matters. In this age of the poser, listen, if you have a teenager in your home, you need spiritual discernment. Amen. If you're a teacher, a friend, a relative, neighbor, there's so much going on that we cannot see. The Holy Spirit can make known to us, can reveal to us, disclose to us what our human eyes would never see. If He can do it, I want it. I want it. That's what this series is about. Let's pray together. Father, we ask You in the mighty name of Jesus to work this work even as we study it together, that even today, Father, in something that You're doing, would You just show us, God, that we really can hear You, that when You have a mind to speak, Lord, You are perfectly capable of letting us know. In matters, Father, where it's got to be right or it's got to be left, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way, You really do have specific will in mind for us. Tell us, God. Show us what we need to see. Give us ears to hear what we need to understand. Open our spiritual eyes and enlighten us. In the mighty and miraculous name of Jesus. Amen. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Very, very important. What I have found oftentimes, and this is a way to discern what's going on inside our own heart. When you see somebody or you see something someone does that is distasteful, despicable, gross, you know, just something you just can't stand, it's really easy to pigeonhole that person right over in the category of despised. And one of the things I found is that when the love of God rises up in me, so that it is His love that is actually controlling me, flowing through me, I'm going to love that person. And I'm going to discern in myself the spirit that's working, whether it's the spirit of God and the spirit of love. So not only discern what's going on with others, but ask God to give you discernment about what's going on inside of you. One of the things I've always recognized about the Spirit at work in us, if it's Holy Spirit, it'll always be redemptive. The enemy spirit, the realm of darkness and deception and destruction, it's a spirit of destruction. It may use deception or manipulation to destroy, but it will not be a redemptive spirit. God's Spirit's redemptive. Betty, I want us to look back at a scene that something happened that was just kind of prayed into place. I mean, it was just something that God did. Real, real special. I prayed about just a child I saw walking and ended up being able to express the love of God for these beautiful children. I want you to watch. Here's just an old, worn out shoe, but here's two pretty little feet that this wouldn't work for. Maybe it worked for somebody for a while, but this little girl needs shoes.
You know, James, I look around and I see all these just beautiful children, and I think, It's not things we're trying to give them. It's life and shoes to put on their feet because there's so many diseases. It comes from walking around when they're bare feet. They pick up so many things that get in their system, in their bloodstream, and just slowly destroys their little bodies. So it's a need that we're asking for. It's not just a luxury. They need our help.
It's not even comfort. It's a chance. And this is something I'm very excited about. It's something we can do together. We're going to get her some shoes.
Yes, we are.
Get her some nice shoes. These pretty feet, get all the dirt off of them. Man, they're dirty feet. Clean them up. Are they ticklish? They're not ticklish? Are they too tough to be ticklish? Huh? They are, aren't they? You know, I just hope that you will do all you can to help us. Share life and opportunities, a better future for children like this. You know, it's so easy to talk about the love of God and about how much God loves people, but it's a whole different thing to show them how much God loves them. A little girl like this just out here in the middle of a remote village in Central America feels very comfortable in the arms of love. Thanks for helping. Do all you can. In the name of love, for the glory of God. Ooh, I don't even know how that moves you, but I know how I prayed for that little girl when she literally disappeared into the distance. I said, God, I wanted so much to tell her how much you love her. And a few minutes later, she walked back my direction, and I just sat down in the road. This is before I had Betty come over and sit by me. I just sat down in the road, and a total stranger, never been in her area before, she just walks over and gets in my lap. She crawled into the lap of love. That's what she did. And when I told her that we wanted to put some feet on, some shoes on some little feet, just a little bit larger than these tiny little shoes, I knew I could do it for one reason. Because you, who view life today, wherever you are, you would help us put God's arms of love around those children and put shoes on their feet. And I'm asking you to help us really get the resources in time to deliver these gifts, Betty, which is, for the children, it's a surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, food's a surprise. Fresh water is just overwhelming to them. But they never, ever dream that somebody would give them something like a pair of shoes. And it keeps them from getting diseases from hookworms and other problems. We want to give them to the children. We want to put in the hands of the missionaries something they can put on their feet. So right now we're giving shoes and smiles. And Betty, this amount of money is so simple. $36, 10 pairs of shoes, 72, 20 pairs of shoes for 20 children, $144, 40 children. To do cleft palate surgery or where they have facial deformity, it averages $500, $1,000. Two smiles. So we call it Shoes and Smiles for Christmas.
What an opportunity. And, you know, this is some area of need that we can really make a difference. These children can use these shoes. Why? To protect their feet. They have enough challenges in their life with other areas and needs, but this can help protect their little feet from disease that they get from the cuts and the bruises and the scratches and all the things that are out there that they might step on, James, to hurt their feet. And then if you can give them a smile, oh my goodness, you heard the laughter of that little girl. What a joy to feel a need of a child. Won't you join with us and let's make the difference in their lives?
We need the resources now so we can have the shoes and smiles as a gift by Christmas. Would you simply dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, please? Would you do it now? So we don't. I know some of you are praying, God, meet the need, but can you help meet the need? Can you be the answer to someone's prayer? Can you be the answer to that need? If you want to write a check, make it to Life. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you do it. We have some gifts that we want to send you. We want to bless you as you bless others. Thank you so much for making that call. If you get a busy now, you be persistent and call until you get through.
Poverty is a killer.
And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Do the best you can to help us give the shoes and smiles for Christmas. Thank you, and thank all of you for joining us. We appreciate you watching. Thank you for being with us. Thank you so much. Encourage your friends to watch the program. And the bottom line is, it is an effort to be spiritual without God.
Tomorrow, Ravi Zacharias helps us rediscover God's truth. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.